And our next speaker is Bunny. Sobriety Day, April 9th, 1979, and that's 42 years. Holy soul. Congratulations.
Thanks, I'm Bunny, I'm an alcoholic. Good to see everybody, be in a real live meeting again. And yeah, it has kept me sober a day at a time for 42 and a half years. And I've been sober since my very first meeting. I was 31 years old, and I was afraid I got there too late. And I didn't think anything could keep me from picking up a drink. I love to drink. I love to drink at the beginning, and I love to drink at the end. What I had to stop was the life-threatening behavior that came along with the drink. To drink like a lady, drink like an alcoholic, and act like a lady, and it won't work for me. And I proved it over and over and over. And the fear of that I kept drinking and getting in those life-threatening situations, although I drank again the next day after many of them, blamed them on somebody else, I finally had that moment of clarity where I put the two things together, that I'm going to have to find a way not to drink. And so I called Alcoholics Anonymous, and I found out where a meeting was. I had done that a couple times before I got sober. I wasn't ready yet. So I came to my first meeting. My sponsor was the secretary of that Monday night meeting in Fresno. She looked really together. And I looked okay on the outside. She thought I was a nursing student until I said I raised my hand and said I was alcoholic. And I thought she was sent there by the government to organize the poor drunks and help them get their meetings going. And then she said in the middle of the meeting, she got called on and invited me with three other gals to go to the coffee shop that night. And I didn't know them, and I thought, you know, should I go with these strangers? I've been sleeping with strangers for years when I get drunk, but, you know, that was, all of a sudden now I have this, like, serious thinking. And anyway, I went to coffee with them. And my plan for AA, didn't know anybody in it, didn't know anything about it, but my plans and schemes, as the book talks about, it don't work, was I'd come here once a week, maybe for a couple years, intellectually learn how to not pick up a drink. I believed once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And I'd just learn it, and I'd be on my merry way, thank you very much. And what they talked about at the coffee shop that night was, they didn't tell me what to do or anything. They didn't say go to 90 and 90 like I was going to graduate if I did that at 90 days. They just said, this one gal talked like she went to a lot of meetings. I said, Kitty, how many meetings do you go to? And she said, when I was new, I went every night. And I knew in my heart I needed to go every night, and I began doing that. And I did that for over a year, and I asked the lady who was the secretary that night when I was 8 days sober to be my sponsor. And I was 8 days before, I was a daily drinker the last 10 years of my drinking, and it was 8 days before I started to shake, working that booze out. And I just hung on to Alcoholics Anonymous, and my sponsor, like my life depended on it, and I knew it did at some level. And so I've got real good basics from that group. I'm in two Zoom meetings with them a week all this past year and a half, and it's been wonderful. And I'm going to see them next week in a Pismo, a little women's AA thing we have every year. So I'm very blessed to be sober, and I know that if I don't keep coming back and practice these principles and all my affairs on a regular basis, that I come to meetings on a regular basis, that I will, I'll drink again. I have no doubt in my mind. I learned pretty quickly here that it's not an intellectual, it's not an intellectual solution. It's a spiritual one, and it only works if I'm showing up a day at a time. And if you knew, just grab somebody's coattails and hang on to them like your life depends on it, because it just might. Thank you.
Thanks, Bunny. And next up is Ron from the Alamo Club, 41 years sober, March 12th,
is a surprise. Hello. My name is Ron. Really, it's Ronald, but they call me Ron once in a while. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is March the 12th, 1980. Hard to believe, isn't it? A good-looking guy like me would have gone through all the shit I went through and stand up here and be proud of it. I am proud. I really am. I mean, you know, people come in and they don't have much time, and I kind of lord it over them. It isn't a good thing to do, I know. But at least I'm trying. I was born in Kansas. I'm a Kansas Jayhawk. I was born that way, and I went to University of Kansas. This is an alumni hat. And my first drinking episode was in the 1950s. We had, KU had gone to, I think, Washington State and played in the NC2A, and they won it. And, oh, we were going crazy. And so I was there. I was with a guy, and I said, what do we do? He said, why don't we get something to drink? And I said, yeah, sure. Why not? And so we started drinking, and then I threw up on Hoke Auditorium floor. So that was my introduction to being somewhat of an alcoholic. It wasn't fun because they put me in jail. And they said, well, I'm going to tell your mother. And I said, well, okay. And I had a stepfather, and we were in the cattle business. And so what this happens is, you know, if you're in the cattle business, you've got to take care of the calves, you've got to take care of the yearlings, you've got to take care of those cattle, and that's a hard work. And so every day after working, my family would come in and have a shot of booze. And my mother passed on in 1979, cirrhosis of the liver. And so I really had a terrible understanding of what this disease can do. But I began to understand it quickly, that is there any reason for me to stop drinking other than I don't want to die? And so I was introduced, and I said, I can do it. I can do it, because I had quit smoking 2 years before. And I thought, if anybody can quit smoking, they can sure as hell quit drinking, because it's harder than the drinking side, or at least it was for everybody that I know. And so I just kept on going. That was in... Well, it started off in North Hollywood. They told me to sit down, shut up, and listen. And I thought, well, these bastards are rude. Why would they want to do that? 30 seconds, okay. Thank you. Thank you, dear. So within 30 seconds, I've got to tell you my life story. It's going to be pretty quick, but I did get sober. I listened to the guy because I finally figured out I learned to be sober through my ears. And that's the only way I could have ever done it. And so I'm very proud to be a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous and be a Jayhawk and whatever else. I've only got what? Zero. Hey, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Ron. Go Jayhawks. Okay, up next, Cliff H., Pioneer Group, 40 years, September 10th, 1981.
Hey, everyone. I am an alcoholic, and my name just happens to be Quill. And first of all, I'm gonna say that for me, I want to thank all of those in San Luis, Santa Maria, and Santa Barbara County, and up north that were here before me, that took the time and effort to share their experience, their strength, and their hope with me so that I could get sober and stay sober. And then I tell you real quick, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't know it was Alcoholics Anonymous. There was a couple of guys that used to hang out in front of the old club and smoke. And there were a couple of drunks that I knew from the bar. And they were miserable people. I just stated as miserable when I drank. And they were laughing and joking and having a great time. And at that particular time, I was facing my second DUI in a year, and I was looking at some serious stuff. And I didn't have a job anymore, and my whole life had kind of like fell apart. But I didn't want to quit drinking, but I thought, you know what, I must be well at the building, because I think they found out how to drink and not get in trouble. Now, that was the reason that I went to the old club. And when I finally took about an hour to get out of my car, and then I walked to the door and took another 10, 15 minutes to open the door because nobody'd open it for me. And my life started. Because I did open the door and I walked in, and the very first thing that happened is Alcoholics Anonymous took over. And there was someone, you know, that did the thing. And that was the guy that I used to drink with that I remember was standing at the bar, the counter. And he saw me and he came over with his hand out. You know, that's it. He reached out for me. And he grabbed me by the hand, he said, you know, Cliff, he said, if you think you have a problem drinking, you're in the right place. I hadn't even thought about that, but that's what he said. And then he drug me into the real room, the AA room. He sat me down in the chair, slipped a cup of coffee in my hand, made me stay. Well, my first meeting, I only remember one thing. I like to keep things simple, and this was a simple one. And that was Mr. Ed Morgan, who had very little time at the time, and was a grumpy old guy at the time, and a very foul-mouthed guy at the time, said, if you want to stay sober, you go to meetings, you don't drink in between meetings, and I got to be glad to be glad, you'll stay sober. And I got that. And the other thing that was important to me in the very beginning was my sponsor, that drilled in my head, keep it simple, stupid, because I was one of those guys that could complicate anything you gave me. And so I had to learn to do that. And the other thing was the most important thing when I was at 19 days of sobriety. And that was after we did it 12 and 12. We're doing it 12 and 12, and I had no, the 12 step, I had no clue what the 12 step was about. And afterwards, my sponsor told me, today's the moment, what you do good. He said, there is something you can do. He said, see that young man over in the corner over there? He's only got 4 days of sobriety, you've got 19 days. If I try to tell him how you stayed sober, if I try to tell him how he has stayed sober for 10 years, after 10 years he won't hear me. He said, with 19 days he might hear you. And for the first time in my life without thinking about anything else, I just went over and I just said, hey, my name is Cliff, I said, I'm an alcoholic, and I said, I see you got 4 days of sobriety. I only have 19 days, and the only thing I can say is that I stayed sober and I'm feeling a little better. And that's sharing my experience, strength, and hope with another human being. And that's kept me sober the entire 40 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And next up is Johnny O, Five Cities, August 21, 1982, that's 39 years. And Pam, we're doing good on time, so it's 4 minute shares. Okay.
Donnell Colic. Sobriety date August 21st, 1982. Member of the Phi City Scoops in Rio Grande. Been a member there for the whole 39 years. And very grateful to them for taking me in when I came in. And I got sent to Alcoholics Anonymous in 1964. Judges thought I had a problem, and I never stayed. When I got here this time, I had never remembered ever being in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And to the jails and all, I did like 7 years in the county jail in San Luis and, for drinking, and I never made it to prison. I made it to prison afterwards, though, taking a panel in. So I'm grateful for guys like Fast Eddie that was there in San Luis and took me to H&I, got me involved, and said, let's go, we'll get a panel. And I said, okay, great. And then when I got the panel with him, and when we got outside, he said, no, I'm too busy. I got a job. You're going to have to do that on your own. And that was the beginning, and I got somebody to help. And usually the old-timers were always ready to go with me. Mina, I went with her, the Tascadero, several times. And, so that was the beginning of this, and I was very grateful through the years. My life changed here. Like I said, I was always fighting and in jail, fighting cops, and I got shot once in a bar, and it was because of my attitude. And when I got here, I remember the guy telling me, it's a lack of power. I've talked to you for a few minutes, and you don't have any power. There's no way you're ever going to stop drinking unless you find the power greater than yourself, and it can't be alcohol anymore. So it drove me deep into Alcoholics Anonymous, fierce at end, that I would drink again, and I was too far gone. And I finally knew I was going to end up in a mental ward with a straitjacket or into prison finally. And judges through all those years, I went through their whole career. Some of them, they were my probation officers, my lawyers, and then they were the district attorneys, and then they were judges, and then they retired. So they called me by my first name, and I was scared when I went to court because they would yell. I'd be hiding in the back, and they'd come in and sit down and yell, Johnny, get up here. What's he in here for? Read off those charges. And I remember saying, oh, that's not me. I didn't do that. I'm here for another charge. He said, no. If you would have stayed, you'd have been a lot better off last time. Now you got new charges. So that was just over and over and over again for years. So I'm very grateful I stayed. We've made nine moves since I've been with our group. And there's few of us left that's been there through the years. JT has got 49 years in our group, and so I'm real grateful for all the people I've met through the years, and the new ones I'm still meeting and going to meet. So I thank you for asking me to come today. So thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. Our next speaker is Frank R., 1600 Club. 36 years, May 15th, 1985. Good afternoon. My name is Frank Roswell, and I'm an alcoholic. And it's an honor to be up here with the people that have been sober 40 years and up. And when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't know anything about recovery at all. Nothing. All I knew is that my wife told me that if I didn't stop drinking, that I was going to lose everything. The business, the home, the car, everything. And she was really serious.
Because we sat down and we talked in the living room, and we never sat down and talked in the living room at all. So I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was afraid. I didn't know what to do there. I sat at the very back of the table, at the back of the room, and the best decision I ever made was to come to my second meeting. Because that's where I heard something, I heard a man talk about something, and a little light went on. And it made me very angry. It really just pissed me off that this person said something that I really identified with being an alcoholic, because that's not what my want. That wasn't my goals. You know, I was a businessman. I worked very hard. I was a good provider, but I wasn't a good father. I wasn't a good husband. I got sober on Father's Day, and I learned to become a good father. I learned to become a better husband. And I owe it to this fellowship, to this group of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been in Santa Maria for almost a year, and I'm the secretary. And I've been a secretary since I've been sober after 1 year in this program. I have to give it away to keep it, and I had a sponsor that was really tough. The group of men that went to my fellowship were men that did things in the group. They were involved in everything that had to do with the fellowship, and I'm very happy and very fortunate that I connected with these men, because they just carried me into learning a different life that I've never ever known. And today I have a balance in my life. I'm retired and I love it. And I owe it to this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, you know, we're here for old timers, but we have to remember that newcomer that comes into the room, we have to welcome. We have to welcome the newcomers. We have to let them know, you know, that our lives have changed since we've been sober, what this group and God and this fellowship has done for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Next up is Peter B., the Drive Group in Reno, 34 years, January 25th, 1987.
Having fun? You're not having fun, you're doing something wrong. My home group is in Reno. I just became their GSR because their assemblies are in Tonopah, and I like Tonopah. They have two pawn shops that are died for. They have 13 turquoise mines in Tonopah. If you like turquoise, it's a great place to go. I sponsor a guy for 33 years in Perry, Iowa, a guy in Sherman, Texas with 5 years, and a brand new guy in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm on my home group in Reno, and they asked me to step in and share a little bit of my story for 15 minutes. I included the fact that I have a son with cerebral palsy and was brain damaged at birth. And voila, this kid comes on the chat and goes, "Send me your phone number." And he called me after that. His 7-month-old daughter was just diagnosed with CP, and he wants to talk to me. And so we get talking, and I'm his sponsor. And he's Jewish, and he's real Jewish, and I think there's a lot. I'm a new Christian. I've only been a Christian for 5 years, and there's a lot of stuff there I want to do. So a lot of cross-fertilization going on there. And let's see, my son, as you know, has cerebral palsy. A friend came over and they were going to go out to lunch and drive his old Ford van to lunch, and it wouldn't start. And this friend goes, "You need a new van." So this friend plunked down $41,000 for my son to buy a new van. So next May, we're taking off for a month. And we're heading east, and we're going to include seeing Dexter. Dexter, I sponsored 15 years ago. He now manages the exercise equipment on the International Space Station, and he's going to give me and my son a private tour of the Johnson Space Center. Yeah, that's what happens in Alcoholics Anonymous. You do stuff like that, you know. I'm a hospice volunteer because I've had a lot of death in my life. I'm a kindergarten volunteer because I miss the squeal, you know, the squeal of those ages, you know. My son with CP never did that squeal, and I want to get the squeal, and I want to get all that stuff because I'm selfish. I want it all. That little girl that comes up to you and sticks her foot out in front of you and says, "Will you tie my shoe?" That's the experiences I want, okay? I am board president of Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 982 in Guadalupe. That's where I was this morning. And I'm going to North Carolina for our national convention because we're going to change our name because we're dying off. And we're wondering whether we should just kind of go away or should we change to do something else. Yeah. So, active, I think what's really important is that I have a lot of time behind me, like most of us here, but what are you doing today? What are you doing today to enhance your sobriety, to help others enhance their sobriety, and what are you doing to have fun? Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Next up is Janie, who turned 30 years sober a few days ago. I forget what day it was.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Janie. I'm an alcoholic. I don't know if I would have volunteered for this. I would have known I had to get out in front of people. I'm a little bit nervous about that, but I'll just say that, yes, I had my birthday, and I feel like a baby in this room with all the 40-year-olds and close to 40-year-olds. And what I've been thinking about is conventions. So I think I'm just going to talk about conventions a little bit. When I got sober, I started going to Roundup, which is what we call them, and I got involved in that. My sponsor was a past delegate, so she was really into service work. And so I was raised with service, and I've been thinking about conventions that I've been to. I've been to three world conventions, and they are lots of fun. If you think this is fun, it's like this on steroids. There's like 50,000 of us, you know, holding hands and saying the Lord's Prayer. That's what it always reminds me of, and I was just lucky to get to go to those. I never thought I'd be able to go. When my sponsor first mentioned it, the first one was in San Diego that I was going to go to, and I was about 4 years sober. And I'm from Gold Beach, Oregon, and I lived, you know, up there, and to me San Diego just sounded like a world away, and I just didn't think it was ever going to happen, and it did happen. And I fell in love with world conventions at that point, and then I went to Minneapolis where they had one, which was also a lot of fun, and then I went to Toronto, Canada. And when we went to Toronto, my husband rode our motorcycle all the way from Gold Beach to Toronto, Canada, and picked me up, and we rode the motorcycle back to Gold Beach together. So basically cross-country on the motorcycle. And so I'm with Peter. I like having fun in sobriety, you know, and I've had a lot of fun in sobriety, and a lot of it has been around AA. But I want to tell you just real quickly that I got the job that I always wanted. I got the right husband this time. That other one was a damn drunk. I couldn't do anything with him, except for I did take advantage because he was a blackout drunk. So I could always tell him, you know, he did this, that, and the other thing to me, and he never really knew whether he did those things or not. And I'm just so grateful to AA, and I was thinking, like, God, to have 30 years sober, you've got to kind of be old to have 30 years sober. That's the downside of it. But I got sober at 31, and my sponsor got sober at 31, and, you know, I sponsored a gal now that she makes it easy, you know, so I'm just so lucky, And I owe everything to AA. We had a Bill W. in my home group in Oregon, and he always said, thank God for AA and thank AA for God, and that's the way that I feel too. So it's good to see everybody.
Happy birthday to me!
Thank you, Jamie. And next up is Arlene, 1600 Club, your home group, 25 years sober, March 29th, 1996.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks to AA, like when I first came into the rooms of Alcoholic Anonymous, I didn't have a clue I was an alcoholic. I came into the rooms of, I was 46 years old. It's never too late. It's never too late. By the grace of God, I picked up a lot of things you guys suggested. That was one of the most important things I learned, because you didn't tell me I had to do it. You suggested it. The book even tells you it's only a suggestion. You know, when somebody suggests something, you might or you might not. But that's your choice. And choices, I never knew I had a choice. I always had to do it what they wanted me to do. Or whoever it was around me, I always had to do it their way. And you guys gave me choices. And you told me you made it so easy. It's just today. It's just what I'm walking through right now. When I wake up in the morning, I can't change what happened this morning. But I can change what happens right now. Acceptance. I have to accept you for who you are. And the most important thing is I have to accept myself. I am an alcoholic. I can't pick up a drink. I know what happens. But it took all this time. And by the grace of God, I've been doing the program like you guys suggested just today. 26 years, I'm a miracle. If any of you remember when I walked in, you know I'm a miracle. I mean, it's unbelievable the way I came in here. And you know, it's okay, because you've accepted me anywhere. I've never been accepted anywhere. You know, they made a song that says, I had to bring extra clothes because I never knew where they were. I didn't know who I was with. I did not know anything. But you guys taught me that, you know what, it had to start from me. And we can dress up a trash can really, really great. You know, we really can. But to be honest to yourself is the most important thing, because it comes from the inside. And you guys, in the first paragraph of chapter 5, it has it three times in that paragraph. Honesty. 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 It's in there. And that's how I started this program, by being honest. I am an alcoholic, and thank you guys.
How to do this. All right, and our next speaker is Luke from the Orphan Men's Stage. I think it's November 27th, something like that. I don't know how many years, 20-some.
Put the mic way up here or something. Hello, my name is Luke. I'm an alcoholic. There you go. So my sobriety date's 11/27 in 1994. So I got 26 years, and what a gift. You guys have given me the gift. You old timers have given me the gift. And, you know, went through my first rehab in 86, and I was 26 years old. I should have been here in 1977. And the progression of the disease just continued on, and the denial of the disease carried on, and I didn't make it back here until 27th November of 94. And at that point, what you guys told me and had been telling me for all these years was that your life will get progressively worse, and it did. I ended up being homeless and unemployable for a couple of years, and that was the hope to die. I really didn't think that I would, you know, ever get sober. I really didn't think that anybody cared anymore. And, you know, I was real fortunate. One of the guys that was still sober, he put me up for a couple months, and I got to sleep on his floor for like the first 3 months of my sobriety, and I was just a raging lunatic. And what I found here was that it's people like you that give me unconditional love, allow me to stay here. You guys give me everything I need. I no longer have to be something else or someone else anywhere else. I get to be me right here, present. You know, there's a loving God that I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous that has given me, right? I got here when I was 35, and, you know, I'm going to be 63 in January. This is the best life I've ever known. This is the life that, you know, I always wished I could have had, but I never had any way of knowing how to do it. The steps have given me a roadmap on how to stay sober and how to have a happy life. A God of my understanding that I'm able to put all my trust in. You know, because if you stay here as long as all these gentlemen and ladies that have a lot of time, you're going to go through things. Life on life's terms is going to kick your butt sometimes, and you're going to get in the barrel. And instead of, you know, ducking and running, you stay here and you take the hits and you feel the feelings and you get through it by this unconditional love we find here. You know, gratitude's a word, but gratitude really isn't anything other than, you know, our actions and what we get back and stuff like that today. That's where your gratitude shows how you conduct yourself on a daily basis. I'm not the same man that walked in here 26 years ago, you know, and I'm totally grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up is Tom W., 1600 Club, 21 years, May 13th, 1999.
I'm Tom, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm sober by the grace of God and the gift of this program. I am truly grateful to be here and grateful to be here. Am I one of the last to speak? The last? Oh, I got 4 minutes left. Well, anyway, you know, they saved the best for us. They did it the wedding at Cana. Matter of fact, they served the best wine then, and it was created by a miracle. So I am a miracle. I followed the dictates of my higher power, and I answered the calling. I finally admitted my inmost self that I was an alcoholic. I got a sponsor, and I worked these steps. And this was at the age of 55 I started this program. You know, this is my first long-timers meeting that I get to speak. I'm 77 years old. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this, but this is the greatest moment in my life right now. I get to share with all of the rest of you who answered the call, have shared your stories, and you've proven time and time again that this is the last resort for us alcoholics who have tried everything else. And it's the simplest program on the earth. And it's the largest organization in the world of people who didn't want to belong to it. So go figure. And here I am speaking to my brothers and sisters, and I'm really grateful for it. So we really appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Tom. That was great. We have someone here who's 47 years, a lost their part. Would you like to share for 4 minutes? Cohen? I know he said he'd rather not. Come on, give you that.
It's always a pleasure to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, a place where it doesn't matter who I am, doesn't matter who you are. Out there, you or I could be somebody really important, or conversely, out there, you or I could be nobody. My name's Colin. I'm an alcoholic. There are so many lines in the book that, you know, really pertain to me. One of my favorites, though, is that line in Dr. Bob's Nightmare that goes something like this. Is, for some reason, we alcoholics seem to have picked out the world's finest women. And that happens to be very, very true in my case. Teresa put up with the last half of my drinking, and to her credit, she's put up with an awful lot of years and they didn't start getting sober. Looking back from here, it seems like I was just thirsty most of my life. And I did a lot of reading in my younger years and looking for something. And then in my my freshman year of high school, I started my drinking where a lot of people leave off. I had a stolen bottle of wine I had on in the back of an alley. And although I went into a blackout that night and was sicker than a dog with a terrible hangover the next day, something told me that alcohol just might quench my thirst. So I really tried that. But about 17 years later, I drank my way here, and I'm a real slow learner. But eventually it came to me that my thirst is spiritual. And although the thirst has not been quenched, and at this point I don't expect it to ever be quenched, the most relief I get is when you and I get together and share our experience, strength, and hope. You talking about your favorite subject, which is you, and me talking about my favorite subject, which is me. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for helping me stay sober. Thank you.
My name is Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Tom, I want to thank you for the introduction. Saving the best for last. On the day I was born, I had four sisters. By the time I was 6 years old, I had eight sisters. My brother came along 2 years later when I was 8 years old. And I have a deep understanding of the word us. I was using the word we for first person pronoun when I was 20 years old. So to be one of us is a really powerful experience. And I wound up after high school, my high school sweetheart moved 3,000 miles away. The Vietnam War was going on. I graduated in 67. I started drinking, smoking dope, cussed her out on her birthday. She wanted to join the sorority, and I was in the future, like I'm a loser, she joined the sorority, and so I cussed her out on her birthday, and I left that. We didn't talk for like 6 or 7 years after that. And I just talked out of like my contemporaries were getting drafted, and they were over there, and I had no idea, no sense, no desire, no ambition to make a life or a profession or anything at all like that. And I just stumbled forward in life for years. I got a drunk driving when I was 23, so I ended up in a recovery house. For about 6 weeks, I got a job while I was there. And after 6 weeks, the 4th of July came up, and the whole recovery house went to AA picnic, and I went to the company picnic. And they had a couple of days to do, and I hadn't had nothing to drink in 6 weeks, so I knew a couple of beers wasn't going to hurt me then. And 9 years went by, and I'm like Luke. I was 35 when I got sober, and I'm like Luke. My birthday's in January, I'm at 8th, but I'm not, anyhow. We're January birthdays, that's cool. And anyhow, the point being, when I got here, I was seeing a therapist 2 weeks before I got to AA. A woman friend of mine had drowned in a storm. her car was washed off the road. My mom came upstairs, stopped on our workshop that we know Jim had having for a while, because he's a good therapist. I saw the therapist. And after, within 2 weeks, Jim read a book called Under the Influence. So before I went to AA, I knew alcoholism was a disease that's progressive and I have it. And so I had a sense of Alcoholics Anonymous, knew how to stay sober, and I got through my brother-in-law. I'm so grateful to God here, and the life I have today is really beyond my wildest dreams, and it really is about right here, right now, what's next. And so with the dinner, whatever I was left, I wanted to introduce Pam, our timekeeper, because she's not much just a timekeeper, and she got to watch any, you know, whatever mistakes I made or whatever, something, whatever. She's our co-chair, Michael's chair, she's your chair, and that's it. So, with that said, I think a good meeting ends on time or something like that, I don't even know what time it is. And I tend to just group said, well, let's keep going, and I'll ask for any volunteers that are all time. But other than that, Pam, do you want to read vision for you and lead us out? Yeah.
My name is Pam. I'm an alcoholic. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.